It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell and Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins, attorneys at law, here on the Talk Station. And Cecil and Wes are in the studio with us. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Ben.
Hope everybody's doing well and getting the holidays on and the holiday spirit going. And no, you don't look excited about it.
Maybe ready for a break. How about that?
Ready for a break.
We are doing well. And look, Ben, since you brought that up, let's say Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to all our loyal listeners. We appreciate so much the tuning in that occurs each and every week. Wes and I really do enjoy this show. For some of you new listeners, you know, Ben, this show began quite a few years ago now.
I know, right? Like 10 years.
I kind of measure by the age of your kids, I think.
Yeah.
My son's 9. He's almost 10. And
there we go.
I remember at one show, I might have missed that show because he had just been born. Right. So, yeah, it's been about 10.
Yeah.
And, again, to just kind of refresh our listeners on the objectives and some of the spirit of the reason that Wes and I do this program, you know, I'm from Morehead City. Mm-hmm. I was born here down in the hospital where Harborview now is downtown by Dr. Brady, of course,
no
my
kidding.
Good friend Doug Brady, his dad, like so many other Moreheaders. And as a Moreheader and then a person who went to West Carter at high school and then on to law school and then elected to come back to my hometown to practice law, one of the things that early on I decided when I got back here was to attempt to give back to the community, you know, Ben, the education that I had received, you know, in law school and a wonderful college. I was so fortunate to be able to have that education, and I wanted to be able to, in some sort of pro bono fashion, disseminate the information that we lawyers learn.
Mm-hmm.
And so Wes, of course, has also been such an integral part of this goal and objective that we share our education and opportunities that we can. We do a lot of public speaking at different churches and community centers and some events. And then, of course, also we then make it a priority to be here every Tuesday morning,
bright
and early.
That's right.
7:15 to begin this program at 7:30. So as we close out the year, those are some good things to just kind of for us to say that remind us all of kind of why we're here.
And I know really one of the first statements you made on the program is still true, to try to demystify the law.
Yes.
Try to bring it into a realm that we can, those of us in the great unwashed, can understand. So it's important to have this kind of program out there where people can hear it. Now, in the meantime, we were talking about executor duties last week.
We were. Last week, Wes discussed the duties of the executor. And, of course, you know, I'm reminding of this advertisement about trying to find the perfect person. You know, there is no perfect person, and so there is no perfect executor. But the executor certainly is held to a high standard under the statutes of North Carolina to govern the assets of the estate. And it begins, really, Ben, with safeguarding, marshaling together, understanding, inventorying, and safeguarding the assets. Every now and then, Wes or myself are asked to be the executor. Maybe someone doesn't have children. Maybe they have nieces and nephews, but not particularly someone that is close to them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we always do is to find their vehicle, bring it to our office, safeguard it, lock up the keys, if you will. And a vehicle that's in an estate doesn't need to be driven. It's a liability.
Right.
Change the locks on the house. Make sure the insurances are in place and that the house is generally in good condition and is secure. And then, of course, you move to the other. Those are the real property assets. But then you move to the safeguarding of the liquid assets.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that many times an executor will do in a larger file is to reduce the stock holdings, if you will, to cash, because an estate usually is going to get settled then within 6 months, 9 months, a year. Some are within 3 months.
Right.
But if an estate is a little bit larger, it's going to require some tax filings, then it might meander out to 6 months, 9 months, something like that. So in other words, it's a short-term proposition.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to have, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars in the stock market when the decedent dies, and then there be one of these corrections in the market where we lose we lose 20 or 30% of the stock. And then, of course, you really don't have time to gain that back within the 6 months or 9 months that I'm speaking about. So right off the tap, safeguarding the assets is a critical duty of the executor.
So typically, then, when you guys are arranging or putting together a will for somebody, are you saying that that assets would be liquidated shortly after the testator's
death? Well, it depends on the circumstances, and we were not necessarily getting to that, because when we're at the will preparation stage, obviously there's a lot of things we don't know. We don't know when the person is going to die.
Right.
We don't know who is going to survive the person. Mm-hmm. We don't know particularly what assets we're going to have. We don't know, you know, what the pulse of the market is going to be at that point in time. If we do have the stocks, like Cecil was talking about.
Right. I mean, it makes sense to do those things that you're talking about.
Right. But one of the things that we do at that point in time in sitting down with the client and putting together their estate plan is that we normally get information with regard to what their assets are, so that when the person dies, obviously we have our notes to look for various pieces of real property, savings, stocks, bonds, those kind of things to give us somewhat of a roadmap to look for those things. But Ben, I would say that each situation in dealing with the administration of an estate is different as it relates to some of these items about liquidating assets and those type things. But as far as safeguarding assets and gathering up the assets and making sure there aren't losses, those type things that Cecil was just referring to, that's consistent with every estate.
Right.
We don't need to be casual about that. We don't need to be think it's okay for, you know, the one sibling or whomever it may be that we get along with to be driving the car around that's really was in the decedent's name during the administration of the estate just because it's convenient to them. That could create real problems, and it could bring personal liability to the executor if the executor is allowing that type of thing. That's just an example.
Okay. And as you meant, safeguarding those assets might be safeguarding the home as well. Making
that's
sure
right.
There's not a raid on the home all
right.
of a sudden.
You know, make sure the water's cut off. You know, we don't have frozen pipes, you know, those kind of things. Just standard common sense type things. Because you have to recognize that if the person who lived in the home is no longer living, then you're the executor. You're the one who is really responsible for making sure those things get done, at least for a period of time. And real estate is an interesting. It's interesting the way it's addressed in an estate, and a lot of people don't realize that real estate passes immediately to the beneficiary under the will. I mean, it's not as though there has to be an executor's deed, a conveyance out of the estate to the beneficiary. Really, it passes immediately to whomever those recipients would be.
But personal property, if you're talking about boats and cars and things like that, that's a different item that you need to secure.
Right. Well, those titled items, if those are in the name of the decedent, then they need to come out of the estate, meaning they need to be conveyed, the title needs to be transferred, or the assets need to be sold while the estate is pending. Otherwise, if we don't deal with those titled assets and the estate is closed, and let's say we want to sell the boat or sell the car 2 or 3 years later, we're going to have a problem. We have a title issue there.
What would be the executor's duty in the case of where I'll just go back to the car, since you mentioned the car right up front there too. If a child is already driving a car that's owned by the decedent.
You mean like a teenager?
Yeah.
That is driving the car owned by grandmama, for instance. Well, we can't allow that to continue. I mean, there has, you know, it's not like we like being, you know, the Grinch here who stole Christmas, but there has been, let's face it, been a material change in the circumstances of this family. Grandmama's no longer living, okay? So we cannot allow, you know, granddaughter to continue to drive that car. Now, we can isolate that issue, if you will, Ben, and move that issue very, very quickly. Maybe the executor will agree to go ahead and transfer the car to the granddaughter.
Right.
Or transfer it to the parent of the granddaughter so that we can maintain some status quo there. After all, that probably is what grandmother would want.
Right.
Okay,
if she was already allowing that.
If she were already allowing that.
If the will allows that.
Yes.
Yeah.
If
you can't
the will
just do
would
it
allow that.
Because you want to do it.
No.
Right.
We can't. But there, you know, so we would work with that issue, you know, as one of the first ones if little circumstances like that were existing.
Mm-hmm.
But Wes's point and my point is just simply that, you know, safeguarding the assets means just that. Not only safeguarding the assets, but protecting the integrity of the estate from any kind of liability.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And one of the liabilities that always lurks for all of us is, of course, automobile liability.
Mm-hmm. Because the estate wouldn't get sued then.
Correct, yeah. Exactly. Now, then, consistent with this, or parallel with this inventorying and safeguarding the assets, checking the insurances, things of that nature, is marshaling together the debts of the estate.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that Wes and I should really pause and speak a moment about this morning.
Well, let's before we take a break, let's take a call here. We have a caller on the line, Marshall in Newport, with a question for us. Hey, Marshall?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, Marshall.
Good morning, Marshall.
This is not on a subject. I just turned the radio on, but I need some information on a restraining order, what it is, because I got tremendous problems with neighbors here. I'm 74 years old. I got to do something. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I need to know what a restraining order is and how I get it.
What are the problems you have, Marshall? Give us some facts here.
Oh, it's been going on for 11 years. I mean, I got a $40,000 car out here, and they put stuff on the hood, you know, trying to mess the car up and stuff like that. These people are just ignorant, you know. And this has been going on continuously. I'll give you an example. Yesterday, the wife pulls in the driveway, and she could come out of the house hollering at her. Well, I'm sitting on the porch, where she's getting ready to go to Walmart, and she started hollering at me, but I couldn't hear what she was saying. You know, I mean, this is stuff all the time. I don't know whether on dope or what the story is, you know.
Yeah.
But you can't believe what's went on. I got three pages of stuff that they've done. And they got out here and mocked her because she is having a hard time getting up the stairs, you know.
Mm-hmm, right.
And I'm going to have to sell a house or something. Mm-hmm. But I need some information, what I can do. Because the law comes, well, you can't do nothing. You can't prove it. This is what I've heard for 11 years. She even come to the door with a shotgun one day, was putting a car on a trailer. And
you have called the sheriff and had the deputies out before. Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, yes, many times.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you need some video, though.
Well, I put one up, and they try to steal it.
Right.
And all I've ever heard, as you can't get do. I just hear, week before last, my dog was shot. I have a yard now. Was shot with a pellet gun, and I don't know which side, who shot the dog, because I don't have no enemies around here. You know, and these people, I haven't spoke to these people in 11 years. Nothing in 11 years.
Yeah. Well, you know, you ask about a restraining order. You're really talking about two different things here, I think, Marshall. This could be either on the criminal side, in the event that you're able to prove that these people are trampling on your rights,
right?
You know, but
anything from trespass to assault. I mean.
Yeah, it could be. You know, but it sounds as though they're walking up to the line, but not stepping over it.
Right. That's what it is, right there. You got.
in the event that there's a trespass on your property, I mean, I don't know, you said they put things on your car, on your expensive car,
well,
those kind of things.
They do this during the night. Most of it's done during the night, see. And they had a son, and I watched him mix the stuff up. We were sitting out in the swing in the dark, and they couldn't see us, my wife and I. I said, what's he mixing up on that porch? I get up the next morning, or she did, and she come in there and woke me up. She said, I got to take his car to car wash right fast. So they put something all over the front of his car. And she took it up there and couldn't get it back off. Couldn't get it off, and she brought it back home. And I had to get out there more or less scrub it off. Mm-hmm. We don't know what it was. I mean, stuff like this. See,
Marshall, the key to any of this, whether it's a restraining order, you know, criminal liability, civil liability through nuisance or trespass or whatever it might be, is the evidence.
Right.
You've got to gather some kind of evidence.
Well,
you've got to have a video. You've got to have something. You've got to have
photographs,
something to indicate that they're trespassing on your property, because then you can get the interest of the courts. Until you have that, you're in a difficult position, my friend.
Yeah.
Well,
Marshall, let me say one thing. I would contact a lawyer. You're welcome to contact us, but you're also welcome to contact your own lawyer if you have one.
You guys are my lawyer.
Well, then you need to call us the first of the year, Marshall. Please do, and let's try to get to the bottom of this. It's a bit much to give you all of the information over the radio program this morning, but I definitely think that there are some things that we could do to mitigate this continuing into next year. So you give us a call the first of the year.
Thanks, Marshall. And and we'll be back with more here on with Harbell and Collins, Attorneys of Law, and Let's Talk Legal here on the Talk Session, brought to you by Harbell and Collins. And you can go online at harbellandcollins.com, and we'll have more to come in a moment. Hey, welcome back with Harbell and Collins, Attorneys at Law. We're talking about also the duties of the executor, and we have a couple of minutes where we have to take a break because we went long on that last segment with the call, but where are we now with the duties of the
executor? Well, we were speaking about, in addition to marshaling up assets, we also gather up the bills. We take a look at an inventory of the creditor issues.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben, what's very important here is that there are many estates where, due to the fact that the credit card debt, particularly unsecured credit card debt,
mm-hmm.
Which of course is usually what it is, and other debt is not necessarily, the obligation of the surviving spouse, for instance,
right.
Nor the obligation, of course, of the executor, who might be a child. So in other words, there can be many, many files in our office where we're able to get very favorable results as to these creditor issues,
mm-hmm.
given the opportunity to kind of line them up and then tell the creditor that due to the priorities in the estate, things like the funeral expenses, the taxes, the filing of the final taxes, the executor's fee, the attorney fee,
mm-hmm.
the spousal allowances,
yeah.
that therefore creditor, credit card or mm-hmm. other creditor, we are sorry, but you are not a priority.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, folks just don't generally know this. And sometimes these are the kinds of files where folks are told, well, you know, you don't need a lawyer, or just handle the estate on your own, because there aren't a lot of assets, Ben. Okay.
Right.
In a file like this, because obviously otherwise these credit card bills and other bills would get paid.
I want to take a little bit more time on that, too, so we'll take a one-minute break. We'll be back in just a second here with Harbell and Collins, Attorneys at Law.
The
the law is increasingly complex, and the growing staff of Harvell & Collins stands ready to untangle your legal challenges. Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins, along with associates Russell Alexander and Andrew Foster, practicing in all areas of civil practice, including estate planning, elder law and asset protection, representation of the elderly, collections and foreclosures, corporate and business, and also civil trial practice in these and all other civil matters. Call to arrange your free initial consultation at 252-726-9050. Plus, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins answer your questions live each Tuesday morning at 7:30 on Let's Talk Legal. Tune into Coastal Daybreak Tuesday mornings at 7:30 on the Talk Station and call in with your legal questions.
I've got a property issue in the sense that I've got some pretty tall pine trees, and they're inside my fenced area, but my neighbor wants to cut down the trees, concerned that trees are going to fall over and damage a building that he's built. Can he do that?
If it's your question, it's important to Harbell & Collins, Attorneys at Law, 1107 Bridges Street in Moorhead City. And we're back with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from Harvell and Collins, and talking about executor and credit, and where's the creditor stand in line once somebody has passed away.
Yeah, and people wonder sometimes, you know, why does it take Cecil and Wes? Why does it take 6 months? Why does it take 4 months? Well, it's really not our doing. It's the statute. When we look at 28A, which is the North Carolina General Statute section dealing with the administration of estates, you know, it has certain provisions in it regarding timelines, a 90-day period of time for the executor's notice to run, which runs a short statute of limitations, which, again, we can trigger in many cases when creditors don't come forward within the requisite amount of time, and we're able to use that against them to hold on to more assets for the estate and for the eventual executor and beneficiaries. you know, we also don't want to rush into paying what we think are all the claims, because you don't know what all the valid claims against the estate will be right from the beginning, and you really don't really know what all the assets are going to be either. So if you decide to just go ahead and start paying this credit card bill and this person who made a claim and this medical bill and this person who made a claim, and then all of a sudden you end up in a situation where there are some claimants at the end that didn't get paid, but they really should have been paid pro rata, then we've got an issue. That's why we're supposed to wait. We're not supposed to just start paying things,
right?
Because you've got to determine within, let's say, the first 3 to 6 months in general, what all the assets are. That's kind of that garnishing of assets, gathering of assets that Cecil was talking about. And you also have to give time for those claims to come forward, so then we can look at those and then apply that 28A statute as it relates to priority to how these claims are paid. And it could be, as Cecil was mentioning, depending on the circumstances of the estate, that many of those claims don't have to be paid because, let's say, we have, you know, relatively minimal assets, and those assets maybe are taken up through administration of the estate. Maybe it be the spousal allowance or the executor's commission or, you know, probate fee and those kind of things
expenses,
that get funeral things that get paid off the top costs before we ever get to the claims. So don't do yourself a disservice by just paying the claims just because they come in. And I kind of feel like, Ben, you know, people have that, you know, they have that habit sometimes.
Sure.
You're used to the cable bill coming in and paying it.
Right.
You're used to the electric bill coming in and paying it. You've got to slow down a little bit when it relates to an estate. You got to realize that these credit card companies, the cable company, the the power company, they know that if the person died that they had the account with, they're probably going to be waiting for a period of time, and they might not get paid on that at all. They're used to that.
This goes back to our topic a little bit earlier about grandmother allowing granddaughter to drive her car.
Right.
You know, Ben, when we lose someone, when there has been a death in our family, it is a very material change of circumstances. And we sometimes forget this. We know it emotionally and psychologically, but legally, it is a very different dynamic. Things change. Creditor relationships with, as we say, the cable company, the electric bill, the Carolina Power, the Craven, the CMC, all of those
all
folks,
those MCs,
all those circumstances yeah. now change. Even the mortgage,
right,
with the mortgage company.
All right. Well, that, yeah. next week we'll pick up on that too, because I wonder where the tax man falls in here too. Well, we'll get to that one coming up next week as we continue to talk with Harvell and Collins, attorneys at law. Of course, you can talk to them as well. Go to harvellandcollins.com.